This is Rising Up with Sonali, and I'm your host, Sonali Kolhatkar. You can watch this show on Free Speech TV nationwide and listen to it on Pacifica radio stations and affiliates. Tens of thousands of people marched all over the United States and world this past Monday, at a time when working people are facing the greatest challenge from neoliberal capitalist models in modern history. May Day has its origins in the United States, when on May 1st in 1886, massive protests and strikes broke out in support of the 8-hour workday in what came to be known as the Haymarket Affair. Rather than celebrate May Day, Americans marked Labor Day in September. Well, decades after the first May Day, President Eisenhower declared May 1st Loyalty Day, or, quote, a special day for the reaffirmation of loyalty to the United States of America and for the recognition of the heritage of American freedom, end of quote. The Declaration of Loyalty Day was to undermine the working class history of the U.S. Donald Trump this year reaffirmed Loyalty Day, but organizers and activists instead continued the tradition of marching, protesting, and striking on May Day. From New York to Portland, Oregon, San Francisco, Oakland, and Los Angeles in California, where this program is based, masses of people took time off from work to affirm labor rights and the rights of immigrant workers. The Rising Up crew was in Los Angeles on May Day, and today we present part one of our hour-long special May Day report.
My name is Alice Stanford, and I'm a chief shop steward with Unite Here Local 11. I'm a banquet server at the JW Marriott downtown LA Live.
And is this your first May Day march?
No, it's definitely not my first May Day march. I do this every year. It's very important.
So tell me why this year is a little bit different.
Well, this year's a little bit different because I think we have more solidarity of groups coming together, whereas I've been active this whole time with being with the immigrant rights, a lot of workers I work with, and then I'm happen to be a part of the LGBT community. So this year, because we feel that the administration, namely Trump, is coming after all of us, that this is a time for us all to band together, that we all must be united. If we've never been united before, this is the time we must be. So this march we expect to be even more exciting than most.
So people who might ordinarily not have come out for May Day marches, but this year they might have gone to the Women's March or the Science March, you think they might show up as well?
I do, yes, absolutely. Because I've shown up for those marches as well, and I've been like surprised, because usually you see the same people at the marches, but this year it's like all new people getting engaged. So in that way, it's kind of exciting because we've united everyone.
What role has a union played in your life as a worker, and how important is it for all Americans to have access to unions?
The union is, I believe, is the last thing in this country. The labor movement separates the capitalist society from completely taking over and having the top 1% over the rest of us. With the union, we're able to organize and come together and make sure that we're paid well at our jobs, that we have good benefits. Also, for me in particular, LGBT, in a lot of states, they don't have the rights that we have here in California, and our union makes sure that they put those protections in the contract so that otherwise workers that wouldn't be protected, like you could be just terminated in like 25 states just for being gay. If they're in the union, then they're protected. So that, to me, is super important.
How important is it to have this show of force on the streets? Because, you know, we hope that the media will cover it and that Donald Trump, sitting in the White House, wondering how he got there, will be watching this on TV and maybe get a message from it. I mean, is that the main goal, or is there a broader impact that these marches can have, even if they don't necessarily directly impact politicians in Washington, D.C.? We're a long ways off from D.C.
Yes, I mean, I'm not, at this point, I'm not sure that these protests actually impact Trump as a person. I think he just doesn't care. But I think the message is that we reach more of America and engage more of the citizens in America to understand what's going on and how important it is for us to come together. For those that did vote for Trump, you know, that they will see that maybe it wasn't the best decision. So I don't have a lot of hopes that Trump's going to give a crap about what we're doing. But I just hope that the rest of America sees how important it is for us to come together and to fight for all of us to be free, all of us to have the American dream.
How do you make the links between LGBT rights and immigrant rights?
Well, they're basically the same. I mean, LGBT immigrants are LGBT. I mean, we are women, we are immigrants, we are men, we are people of color. I mean, our community encompasses all spectrums. So whenever you attack one, then you're attacking all of us. So it's all integrated. I mean, there's many LGBT members that, friends that I know that have, you know, relationships with immigrants who are then in fear of being separated. It affects us the same way it affects the heterosexuals. It's all our community.
Well, happy May Day to you and good luck today.
Thank you so much.
My name is Patsy Walton. I'm here with ISCIU 2015. We are here because of the medical and just trying to take our program away.
What do you do?
We do in-home care. And we take care of the women and the men and the kids and stuff in their homes, so they don't have to be in a hospital or a convalescent home. And tell you the truth, we do a lot better than the convalescent home people do. You know, my uncle, he had Agent Orange. And I took
care of him. In Vietnam? He was a Vietnam vet?
Vietnam. And I took care of him. And before he died, he told me I need to start taking care of people because I do a good job at it. So here I am 15 years later, working for the union. I have 3 clients. And I love it.
So when you said earlier about healthcare, you're worried about Trump wanting to repeal and replace the Affordable Care Act?
He wants to keep Obamacare, you know, even though I don't have it, but I would if Donald Trump moved out the way. I wish he would just move out the way completely and let somebody else take that position, because frankly, he really don't know what he's doing. And not just that, he's taking away stuff. He's taking away things from people that really need it. Just like the ones that have the people that bring them food to them weekly. Meals on wheels. Some people have to eat. And he wants to take it away. Come on now. We got 2 million people that you about to mess up with their in-home care. Come on. With their health care. If I have surgery 3 or 4 months from now, and his stuff approved, I won't be able to have surgery because I don't have no Medicare. He's too high, first of all, with his Medicare. I'm just overwhelmed the way Trump did it, the way he came in, you know.
So do the patients that you treat, do some of them have insurance through Obamacare?
Yes, I have 2 of them that does, yes.
And you?
They're very upset about it.
And do you yourself have health insurance?
I have health insurance through my union.
How important is it to have union representation in today's day and age? Because the person who is in the White House is a billionaire, and he's just looking out for other billionaires, it seems.
Absolutely, you're right. He's only looking out for the billionaires, and he's only looking out for the people that's really rich. He's not thinking about the people that don't have nothing. We have people out here on these streets that don't have nothing. And I'm not just saying the people that's living out here, most of these people is veterans. Come on now, do something for our people that fought for us, if you're gonna do anything. You know, and the homeless people out here, they can't get jobs. Wanna know why they can't get jobs? Because half of them got felonies and nobody won't hire them. And I don't feel that's right. Give them a second chance. Somebody gave you one. Thank you.
Thank you so much.
My name is Martin Parada. Member of FMLN.
And tell us who FMLN is.
It's a political party, it's a government in El Salvador.
Why is it here in the streets of Los Angeles for May Day?
Well, this is May 1st. It's a great day for the working class. In El Salvador, we have a government represent the working class in the country.
Right, so this is a historic year for El Salvador, right?
Oh, yeah, for a long time. Since 1980, marching across the Broadway, the downtown LA, against the war, the civil war.
And How is it being celebrated today in El Salvador, you think?
Oh, it's a big, big march. You should call it a mega march, the working class.
So it's an official holiday in El Salvador?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Except May Day was started in the U.S., no?
Yeah, we had two in the USA.
It's not an official holiday here.
Yeah.
So why is it important to talk about immigrants in the U.S. on May Day, immigrant workers?
Well, it's in the United States, the Labor Day is in September 1st. For us and around the world, it's May 1st. We need to celebrate May 1st.
Thank you so much.
Okay, you're welcome.
My name is M.K. Lees, and I'm part of the Industrial Workers of the World Los Angeles branch.
And for people who don't or aren't familiar with IWW, can you just give a little brief background?
Sure. We're a rank-and-file union. We've been around since 1905. We organize workers in all industry under the model of direct action as opposed to workplace contractualism, relying on contracts, relying on the National Labor Relations Board and the state. Instead, we encourage workers to take direct action around grievances and fight on the job to win what they need.
And why is it important to be here today on May Day for you?
Well, we've been at May Day since 1905, essentially. May Day is the Workers' International holiday, and we're always here. Obviously, the political climate is different now, but we feel like the real only solution is for workers to organize as they always have and to not just fight for bread and butter gains now, but to fight for a better world and a world without capitalism, because we think that Trump is a symptom of capitalism rather than an aberration, and that this is what you get. And Trump is one boss among many, that, and we have to fight them all.
I know IWW has been involved in things like prison labor. Well, give us some examples of places where the activism has been successful in upholding workers' rights.
Sure. So, we were instrumental in the prison strike that happened on September 9th this year as an anniversary of the Attica Rebellion, the largest prison strike in history that we know of. We also are organizing, we have a history recently of organizing the low-wage food service work, the type of precarious work that most of the other unions wouldn't touch until very recently. But our model centers the workers as opposed to some of the models that center trying to get a higher minimum wage or state legislation that kind of takes power out of the hands of workers and channels it into legislative kind of strategies. So we're organizing in New York. We have a large shop that is winning fights based on direct action. That's called Stardust Ellen's Diner in Times Square. We're also organizing the Burgerville chain in Portland, which is to me one of the most successful fast food organizing attempts that has happened so far. So those are a couple of our struggles that we're working on now.
If people find out more, is there a website you can offer?
IWW.org.
Thank you so much.
Yeah,
thank you.
Oh, and no, Caro. Morena is from Mexico, political party, and the immigration reform, that's what we always want, you know, for everybody, on the common people. And we just trying, you know, every week, every month, every year, we just want something to help, you know, the people. And I'm here too because I have to do something, you know what I mean? We want the over there in the White House, they hear from us. We want to change all this. It's unfair, you know, for all these people right here. That's why we always here too. In Mexico, you know, it's a lot of violence, a lot of discrimination, and a lot of problems over there.
Is the problems in Mexico similar to the problems in the U.S. for ordinary poor people?
Yeah, I think so. You know, the corruption, like, you know, we know everybody, you know, Russia helped in the White House to win the election, you know what I mean? It's in Mexico, the same thing. They do everything they can do about money, corruption. That's why we just fight for all these things.
What does immigration reform mean for you?
It's just, you know, for the people, you know, who live for a long time here, and the people deserve these papers. You know, it's unfair when somebody from the government say no, they don't deserve because they the people making problems all the time, you know. And we are different. You just help, you know, the economy in this country. You know, it's you know, something wrong from the White House.
What do you do? What do you do for a living? What's your job?
Oh, I'm a painter. You know, I paint cabinets and you know, I always help for this economy.
that like everybody else, everybody when they work, they help, you know, for the state. Yeah, they help.
Where are you from?
I'm from Mexico, Michoacán.
How long have you lived in the U.S.?
I live, I think for 20 years and something, like 25 years.
You have family here?
Yeah, all my family live here. I have two kids. My born son, he's 20 and 20. They go to college now.
Is your family worried about what's happening in the U.S.?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, but, you know, the thing is, the family sometimes they run a different ways. Like my kids, my son and boy, my son and daughter, they focus in the school right now, and I gotta do, you know, what I can do for everybody.
Thank you so much.
All right, thank you.
My name's Marshall Wong, and I'm the co-chair of an organization called API Equality LA, which has for the past 11 years been working to advance LGBT equality in the Asian Pacific American community.
And why are you here today?
Well, I think since Election Day, it's been like an alarm that's gone off, a siren across the country, and we're seeing an unprecedented number of new people coming into activism. I think that being out here is principally today about immigrant rights and trying to push back against everything from Trump's call for building a wall to massive deportations to attempted bans on travel from majority Muslim countries, which has definitely made an impact on a lot of South Asians who are legal residents or international students here in the U.S. The level of anxiety is quite terrible, but I think that there are people out here also from labor unions who are seeing a need to organize immigrant workers if the labor movement is going to remain relevant in places like Los Angeles, and from any number of other organizations who want to stand with workers and raise other issues of concern today.
We often equate immigrants with Latino immigrants or Latinos, but in fact, immigration from Mexico and other Latin American countries has started to level off. But I understand, for example, Chinese immigrants are the fastest growing immigrant community. Are Asians often left out of the conversations on immigration?
Yes, and I think that part of that is a failure within the Asian American community sometimes to talk about difficult subjects. Not only is the rate of Asian immigration surpassing that of Latinos today, but just numerically as well, for the first time, I believe, in history. And so part of that is due to some of the eroding economic opportunities that started with the Great Recession, and you've seen that actually a number of people who have lived from Mexico and Central America in the U.S. for a number of years who are returning because they're seeing both a level of hostility as well as lack of economic opportunities and a real uncertain future. So for Asian Americans, it's estimated that 1 in 7 Asian Americans is undocumented. And so, talking about that becomes a huge problem. The majority of Asian Americans who are undocumented did not enter the U.S. crossing borders illegally, but are here on expired visas. So it's much easier to be an invisible population. And also, many work in ethnic enclaves in the San Gabriel Valley or in Koreatown for ethnic-specific businesses, restaurants, nail salons, foods for supermarkets, and they remain under the radar. It's very, very different than if people were in like these public jobs as day laborers or as gardeners, where they draw a lot of attention. So part of why we're here today is kind of to break the silence about how immigration policy is adversely affecting Asian Pacific Americans.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
That's part of our special report from May Day in Los Angeles, one of many marches that took place this past Monday around the United States. I'm Sonali Kolhatkar. We're online at risingupwithsonali.com, where you can sign up for our daily newsletter. You can also find us on Facebook, Twitter, iTunes, and Vimeo.